The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. This is the Cincinnati Bengals edition. I am doing this podcast, this entire podcast, wearing a Cincinnati Bengals helmet, an official helmet. Cost me $300, Kingy.
You're doing it that way because we're actually doing it via Zoom, which is not usually our go, but conflicting schedules mean that Wednesday night was the best we could do, and then I get you as an idiot just on the other end wearing your Bengals long sleeve top.
And my top.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
I can't wait for that season to start. But
it's 3 months away. 3.5 months away.
Yeah, I know, but I'm still sort of aroused by it.
Hey, Benny.
I was thinking tonight, and I mean this respectfully. I don't mean this in a nasty way.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to Joe Burrow ending the career of Tom Brady.
Oh, wow. Apparently Tom Brady signed some mega deal media-wise too.
Yeah, he did. Like it's the basically the salary cap of the entire every AFL club.
Yeah, just to talk on the TV.
Yes, but no, look, Joe's going to end his career. So, and I don't mean that in a nasty sense. I just mean that there's going to be an enormous changing of the baton, and hopefully we get to play them at some point. I don't think we play them in the regular season, but we have to play them in the Super Bowl. So anyway,
right,
that's for down the track.
Can I just very quickly throw in my American football? I follow the college a bit more closely because I follow Boise State, but I'm just doing a bit of planning for my American trip at the end of the year, Benny. Yeah. And I'm going to see at the Rose Bowl the old rivals UCLA and USC go head to head.
Oh, wow.
In a big Pac-12, mate.
Yeah, that'll be off its chops.
Yeah, so I'm going to that. Unfortunately, I was hoping it would be USC, UCLA at the Coliseum. But it's at Rose Bowl, which is probably just as iconic. So anyway, that's my American football contribution to this evening's Cat Attack podcast.
Funny, I'm going to watch Deacon versus the Gordon Tafe.
Deacon,
that'll be an extraordinary game.
Deacon will be looking to cover the line, won't they?
Oh, look, Deacon have recruited well, but the Gordon Tafe, they're hardy souls there, and they've got a lot of sort of experienced veterans. So, especially in the sort of cooking department, it's quite extraordinary. But do you know that I'm a war veteran, King?
Oh, please don't disrespect our veterans.
No. Well, some bloke said to me, this is true, right? I'd had a few refreshments on Friday night, and there was a bloke at the pub who told me, and I didn't laugh, but I thought it was sort of quite humorous. He sort of talking about war, blah, blah. He said, oh, I'm a war veteran. I said, oh, yeah, right. He goes, I was in the catering corps. I thought, oh, no. He was whipping up the sandwiches.
Somebody's got to keep our troops sustained. Yeah.
No, and I thought it's a really, really important part of war is making sure that when you're launching out of your little hole that you've got some sustenance underneath you. But anyway, he was in the catering corps, and I had a bit of a chuckle. But anyway, and then we went and watched Nick Barker and the Reptiles. So that was fantastic.
Oh, very good. All right, the Cats. Did we like what we saw against? Gee, that's an underwhelming GWS going around at the moment, isn't it? I don't know whether we can get too enamored by what the Cats did, even though they did it with a bit of class on Saturday night.
Look, they were putrid, Tom. They've got more problems than Lindsay Lohan.
I would say Britney Spears now, judging by those photos that have been doing the rounds.
Oh, yeah. Well, goodness me. Sort of Paris Hilton style. Look, they were, that was half embarrassing. I mean, I think I did that count on the K-Rock footy call, and I might be one or two out, but there was about sort of 12 to 14 first-round draft picks, and I'm not talking kids that had played three games.
No.
I'm talking supposedly battle-hardened players, Canelio, Kelly, Whitfield, Ward, Haynes, Taranto. The list goes on. Jesse Hogan to kick four goals, and the other two teams they've beaten are Adelaide and the Gold Coast.
Yep,
they are in a world, an absolute world of hurt.
Yep,
a world of hurt. I reckon you could argue. I know people will say West Coast, but what's happening at West Coast is you know, it's beyond the realms of, you know, you can't control that.
No, that's almost Essendon being wiped out but with their list going into 2016.
Yeah, 100%. And I would argue that the GWS right now are the most disappointing team in the competition by quite some margin.
Yep.
Pussycats were good, though.
Yeah, they were.
You can only flog what's in front of you. And they sort of Len Dittman style, he used to flog what was in front of him, and he was able to do it 4 million times. Now you get suspended. But, look, they were good. It was good to see some of the, you know, what we would classify as lesser lights. I think you said, I thought you was talking about him during the call, and Zach Guthrie played well.
That was his best game. I think that was better than his North Melbourne game down in Hobart last year where he played well. I thought he was, for a late replacement, although I think he knew Friday that he was playing, the way Geelong structured up down back with Stanley out of the side and Blitzars having to go into the ruck. I thought Zach Guthrie showed why the Cats are persisting with him, why he's been on the list for 6 years and only played the 30-odd games. But he does have some ability there that he just hasn't been able to show on a regular basis, and he always seems to be first to drop out. And admittedly, he's been in a fairly strong defensive unit. Now, this doesn't work for a podcast, but Ben's now got the aviator sunglasses on. He looks like he's actually about to become a motorcycle cop.
Can we get a photo of this to put with the podcast?
No.
Yeah, why not?
Because that would create more work for me. This is the pod. Remember, as I say every week, this is the podcast that was your idea that I seem to spend half my life working on to ensure that you stay out of the courts.
Well, I mean, yeah, well, I appreciate
it. Oh, yeah, you appreciate it.
No, look, but I agree with you. I think he was good. I thought Colin Jazzy, I know he's a whipping boy.
That was his best game of the year.
Yeah, he was good. Stengel continues to play well, and I like the fact that he's played well 2 weeks in a row, and he played well against Freo when the team struggled. Well, they struggled to a degree. Yeah, they were beaten. It was a tight, tough game, and he played well in that, which is good to see. Backs it up with another 3 goals. You know, and I thought everybody contributed. I know the whipping boys are going to be – well, Myers is one now. He's the new whipping boy. They've moved from Dallas to Myers.
Yep.
Evans is only a kid.
You can't – I know people have been saying that Evans should be out of the side, but Evans has got some like, there was a couple of things that Evans did that just go on. He's very clean below his knees. In terms of his ball handling, I would, they've just got it. I think now I don't think Luke Dalhouse plays it unless Geelong are hit by a raft of injuries. Luke Dalhouse might have played his last AFL game for Geelong. Sean Higgins is not far from probably being in that category.
I think it might be all over there.
So, you know, they're both out of contract at the end of the year. They're not going forward. You and I have had this chat. We've said this before. They're not part of Geelong's next premiership.
No, they're not.
But Francis Evans is. Cooper Stevens is. Mitch Nevitt is.
Maybe they're not, but you have to find out if they're not.
Well, no. But I think they are. Well, I'd be shocked if Stevens is not. Stevens is a first-round draft pick with all the ability in the world, and I reckon we saw it on what he can do. He now just has to stay. They just have to play him now.
Yeah, I agree. They can't keep playing Nevitt.
No, he'll...
Nevitt going to see you again. He was named after my first dog, which was named Nevitt.
You're right.
And this is a true story. And one of my brother's friends used to come over and he would say, "Hello, Nevitt." And then he'd go, "I am Nevitt going to see you again." And we thought it was quite amusing that he would call it. But anyway, the dog was called Nevitt. Oh. Makes me laugh every time. So he's going to be known from now on if he does get another game.
No, he's the Monk.
My first dog.
No, we're calling him the Monk.
Well, I'm calling him my first
dog. He's the Monk, and Francis Evans is now Francis Evans MP. Yeah, the Honourable Francis Evans MP.
I don't mind. That was reasonable humour from Nildy, so...
which is rare.
Yes.
He doesn't listen to the podcast, so we can take pot shots at Nildy.
Oh, he did mention it once. Yeah, I think he listened to it.
Did he?
He must have. Other than putting it up, the basketball entry from $10 to $12, he mustn't have had much else on. I had to save up, take the journey to the old... the old Steppo ball.
You realize that price had been at $10 for about a decade.
Yeah, well, it should have stayed at 10. Because I went there with only 10, and I had to tell a sob story to the bloke. Show him a hole in the pant, just because he'd let me in.
Right. So we saw some quality from the Cats. They get a really big challenge on Saturday night. The skipper will be back. Stanley will be back.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'll be jumping up and down about that.
Well, is Mark Blitzarve's Geelong's best ruck?
Well, as was pointed out, probably, but there's no competition. That's like saying, you know, I won't say
no,
that.
No, be very careful. Be very careful.
Yeah, real careful, Kingy, real careful. But, I'd have to agree he is, but there's no one else, so there's no competition.
I tell you when they've got to be careful. I reckon they can run Blitzarves as the ruck and the standalone ruck when Jack Henry's back in the team. But for games against clubs like St Kilda, who provide you with the likes of Membry, Max King, Ryder and Marshall swapping in the forward line, I think Blitzarves would have to go back. But
well, yeah, I agree with you. I would love to see. Now, I would love to see the number 16 for the Cats trundle down to the goal square and have a crack at Max King.
I think he'll get first crack.
Well, I reckon that would be fantastic. Now, you have to be very, very careful. Max King is a good player, and he may get hold of him.
Yep.
Which is fine. That's going to happen. But so I wouldn't. If it is shaping that way, I wouldn't be leaving them there all day, but I would love for him to just have a crack and just see how he goes, because he hasn't, he played on, who did he play on a couple of weeks ago? He played on.
Against Fremantle?
Yeah, well, they had Tabiner out.
Yeah, he spent some time on Lob.
Yeah, and he beat him comprehensively. Yep. The weekend he beat.
The North Melbourne game he played on Zerha.
What did he?
No, Zerha or Larky?
Larky.
Larky, sorry.
Zerha's only about as tall as me.
Yeah, Larky, sorry.
Yeah, Larky. He beat Larky. Well, but I'm not sure the ball goes down a bit skew if when you play North. So, look, I just reckon if you're going to give him a little taste against a really good up-and-coming forward, then it's this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the problem with that is that then Blitzarves has to play in the ruck predominantly, I would say. I mean, not necessarily. You probably could put him on Membry, who runs a lot, so that could be an option. I'd probably put Colin Jasny on Membry. But if that happens, then what do you do with Blitzarves?
Well, Blitzarves will play at the field on a wing.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's his. It's in the ruck or defence. Don't start making him a midfielder.
But that's what they've been doing for most of the year, Benny. He's been playing in the ruck and coming off a wing.
Well, he's played in defence predominantly.
No. He's spent more time forward of half back.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure about it. And then Stanley comes in and I don't know. Would you have the kahunas, like the big juicy kahunas, the real big meaty ones that require some serious harnessing to leave Stanley out and play just Blitzarves?
Yep.
Well, that'd be fantastic. I'd be all for that. I'd be happy with that.
But it won't happen.
No, I think you're probably right.
Because of the size of...
The testicle.
No, because the size of the St Kilda forward line. Because what is your plan B if Max King got off the chain early, like he did last year? Remember, he should have put the Cats to bed in the first quarter at Eddie or Marvel last year.
Yeah, he should have. And he kicked about one goal 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very good player and... I don't know. It's an interesting one, and the good thing for the Cats,
Geelong can't go in without Stanley, because if that was to happen and King exposed to Koning, then all of a sudden you can't send Blitzarves back because you don't have a ruck.
Well, you don't want to get exposed.
Right? Can I pose some questions to you?
Yep.
Yeah. Howler 41 bounced back well against the Giants. A good win considering the outs we had. Good result considering Stewart and Hawkins didn't have huge games. Really happy with the two debutants. As far as I'm concerned, Cooper Stevens built for senior footy and should stay in for the rest of the season. What it wasn't out of his depth at all.
I'm wary about just has to stay in for the rest of the season. I think he has to continue to contribute and there might be some mini ups and downs, which there's going to be. He's not going to come in and star, but I don't think you just keep playing him if he has 2 or 3 weeks of struggling. No, I'm not advocating that. But as long as he's contributing like he did on the weekend, yeah, keep playing him.
The output we got from the two debutants outweighs anything we'd get from the older players they replaced, so that would be Dalhouse and Higgins.
I don't know if you could categorically say that. I mean, I know they're not everyone's cup of tea, but they can contribute. They're experienced players. So you've got a kid. I mean, let's not get too excited about Cooper Stevens. He was okay. He didn't star. And I'm not knocking him. It was his first game, for crying out loud. But he didn't come in and have 30 and kick 3 goals. So he would probably provide what Sean Higgins provided. The difference between them is about 13 or 14 years, and he's the future. Sean Higgins is not. So I get that, but I'm not advocating, geez, Cooper Stevens coming in, he's done 10 times more than Higgins and Dallas could have done.
A couple of podcasts ago, a question talked about Zach Guthrie. I think he should be kept. He has improved greatly and should be a big part of the future. Go Cats. But if there's a part of the ground where Geelong aren't aging, it's the defensive unit. They're actually quite, it's experienced,
but it's not. I mean, they're older.
Blitzarves is the only one with the 3 in front of his age.
Yeah, Stuart, what's Busey's, 28?
Yeah, Busey would be, 28, turning 29.
Yeah, what's Stuart, 28, 29?
Yep.
Yeah, they're not old. They're in the wheelhouse of their best footy, but they're not young.
Oh, Tui.
And then you've got Collar Jasny, what's he, 25, 26?
26, Collar.
Yeah, so they're all in the wheelhouse of their best football. And then you add...
O'Connor's in there as a 25-year-old.
Okay. I'll ask you this question, Kingy. This will put a bit of stuff in your pipe. Would you rather, and the Cat Attack podcast listeners, Kerr's Hire Style, Jared and Jason will be listening. Would you rather have... Jason,
you're an idiot. What? It's only Jared, but yes, go on.
Would you rather have Zach Guthrie playing at halfback now or Jordan Clark?
Oh, Jordan Clark.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So that's... But you've lost one, you've got the other one in.
Yep.
I don't know. Zach Guthrie did well in the weekend. If he's playing like that, yeah, play him. But if he's not, unfortunately, he's going to be the first cab off the rank to go out.
Yeah. This is from Calder Daddy. Do you think it's stupid us supporters want to see Myers closer to goal? I fear for his sake when we get players back, he might be the first out. Also looking forward to seeing Rowan back and seeing the pace between him, Stengel, and Close. That is mouthwatering.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. As long as Rowan is playing okay. Myers is at an interesting stage.
He hasn't kicked a goal this year.
He needs a goal. He's a confidence player. He needs to get a goal early. I just think, and I've said this 1,000 times, that he provides something that those other small forwards don't. He has the capacity to run up the ground like they don't. Evans can't. Stengel can't.
Close can,
but a different sort of player. Myers, I think he's, and I agree, his value is probably close to goal because he's actually a sharpshooter in general play. Not much chop from a set shot, but he's in general play, he's actually quite a sharpshooter. So you want him getting the ball, crumbing and all those sorts of things because he can manufacture a goal, but he also has an ability to move up the field. I've said this, he's had an injury-interrupted preseason. He's finding his feet. I think you've got to continue to let him find his feet for a few more weeks.
Not very confident against the Saints, but I'm looking forward to a fast game on the tennis court. Loving the youth. Never. It was very exciting. Raw, but exciting. And then one more thing. Is it nearly time, nearly, N-E-A-L-E-Y, time for Shannon to debut? I'll see myself out. Nah, I think Shannon Neal, he won't be debuting this week. His best bet is second half of the year. So the VFL have got the weekend off. They'll then get a run of games. I think they get 3 consecutive games before the next bye. I suspect best case scenario for him is after the break. But that's if he's required. They don't need to rush Shannon Neal.
No, and I don't know where he plays. He's not getting a game up forward. And this is the problem. So Neal gets to the end of the year. I don't know that he gets a game this year. Unless, because you can't be expected. And this is what I think unfortunately hurts people like Jordan Clark playing a different position at VFL level, coming into the senior team, being asked to play in a different position.
Yep.
You can't put Neal up forward in the twos and then bring him into the AFL team and play him in defence,
yeah,
or play him in the ruck where he hasn't played in the ruck. He's not going to get a game above Hawkins. He's not going to get a game above Cameron.
Yep.
So you're not going to put him in.
So unless one of those two is injured, or they manage Hawkins maybe later in the year. Although,
yes,
we, as you've discussed many a time, Hawkins just doesn't miss.
He doesn't, and they may choose to rest. I'd say they'd rest those two guys. Yeah, so Neil might get one crack. But he gets to the end of the year, and then he's thinking, well, you know what? Hawkins, he's just signed another deal. Cameron's right. He's realised he's his best footy. I don't really want to play in defence. I'm from WA. Freo have rung me. West Coast have rung me. See you later.
Yep.
So this is the byproduct of recruiting, like Geelong have, and I'm not saying that's the wrong thing. I'm just saying it's a byproduct of it, and it's reason, potentially part of the reason we lost Clark and we lost Kruger.
Yep.
Do you lose Neil?
Yeah. Cat to the future. G'day, lads. Last injury list update was massive with guys added who are nearly back. Do you think the club was bowing to external pressure to be more transparent? Is that the kind of thing that might be within Chris Scott's new KPI framework? The Cats are usually pretty good. We're lucky enough to get some access to some stuff through dealing with Simon Lloyd. And if we ask the right questions, we get the right answers. So, I think there's just a lot more people on it too. The Cats only ran three at VFL level last week to give you an idea of how many blokes were sidelined. Radigalia going in for surgery is not a great sign for him. He just can't seem to get a run at it.
No, he's unfortunately dropping down the pecking order, and he was playing Ed King, you'll probably chop this out, but unfortunately it's very hard to play the spare dick role. And when and that's what Neil would be asked to play. Yeah. And it's a very, very difficult role. Do you know anybody who's played it successfully?
Foxdog 50. Hey, boys. Reading
all the... cut that out, Tom.
No, I won't cut it out, but I'm moving on to the next piece.
Brown?
He played it well. Reading all the comments and listening back to your fifth quarter after the game, everyone mentioned how happy they were with the win as we played a few kids, which is most what people want to see. Here is the breakdown from the game. I think it's the first time in ages we were under the average age of 27. So here's what we've been given. Foxdog 50 has done a power of work here. Might put you out of a job, Benny. The height was at 180. Yes, the attribute for height. No, we won't worry about height and weight. Age, Geelong was 26 years, 8 months. GWS, 25 and 5. Geelong's average games, 120.6. GWS, 92.1. The breakdown by games. Less than 50, Geelong had 8. GWS had 9. 50 to 99, 3 apiece. 100 to 149, 4 all. And 150 or more, GWS had 6. Geelong had 8. So that's an interesting number.
It tells you who's the most disappointing team then, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, absolutely. GWS, there is one small problem I have to ask. As much as Blitz was fantastic, I don't understand on not having another guy actually in the team to help him. Surely the club would have known 48 hours before the game Stanley wasn't going to be fit. They definitely knew that Asafa was never going to be fit, so why did they leave it to the last minute to put Neil on the emergency list where they could have taken him up there with the team and should have played him? I'll say once again, I'm happy with the win as we played a good chunk of youth, but I don't understand this with Neil. I think they just figured they could get away with it. They could play Blitz halves, and if worse came to worse, they would have probably moved to Koning into the ruck.
Yeah. Oh, jeez, I wouldn't be doing that.
But that would have been
way too valuable.
But that was their next option, wasn't it?
Well, jeez, I would have. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't.
So as Sean Grigg said in the, Hawkins did a lot of the ruck work in the front half. De Koning did a little bit in the back, and Blitzarves was going to take the middle of the ground.
Well, if he does a couple of throw-ins from the back half, that's fine. If he's in the ruck in the centre, I'm going to run out into the ground.
Yeah.
With my headphones.
No, you're not. Daz Broncos. Not much has been made of the assistant coaches to this point, but it seems clear they have a positive effect. SDK and Stengel are two that are clearly developing well. Eddie has his fingerprints over bits of this, and Harry Taylor, while he doesn't have an on-field role per se, it's hard to not see his style in SDK. Egan, Pops, Kelly, Shagger, also Burns, all seem to be having a positive influence with Grigg there too. The lack of specific defensive midfield and forward coaches doesn't seem to be restricting developmental progress, or am I just too deep in the red cordial thoughts?
Well, do you think that Shannon Burns is moonwalking the middle of the ground before the game had anything to do with their win?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it was. I think he's.
He marked the Cats' territory by doing that, and they were never losing after that.
I think you're right. What do you think he might do this week?
Well, he did. Now, he replied to you on the KFC tweeted
the bus stop.
Yeah, you suggested either the bus stop or the nut the bush.
Have you ever done the nut bush?
Yeah, I've done the nut bush.
What about the dance?
Oh, Ben.
Have you ever done that one?
Ben.
If anyone could see me now, Tom, what do you think they would say?
This bloke needs to go and talk to somebody.
I am loving my Bengals hat on. I've had it on for half an hour now, and I feel at home.
Yes, very good. I know Benny probably has a tee time or track work to assess. Now, Benny hasn't played a lot of golf lately, Daz, but does have track work to assess. How good is this? And it is the, I don't know whether you've seen it floating around Twitter, where the Cats actually filmed Cooper Stevens receiving his first jumper.
And yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, how good was that? How he just walked away and he pored over it and looked at it and just soaked it all in and, ultimate respect from Cooper Stevens for the jumper he was about to pull on for the first time.
Yeah, it was good. He worked pretty hard to get there, and he wasn't handed to him. So, yeah, it was a good moment, and something he'll never forget, nor his family. But, yeah, it was good that he went out and played, you know, contributed. He didn't start, but he contributed, which was fantastic.
Now, I don't know whether you were watching, talking about your work with Wild Racing.
No.
Simon co-hosted part of Tuesdays with Terry on racing.com.
Yeah. And, oh, he loved him. I had to push him to do that. He wasn't happy about that.
And Terry actually mentioned your name. Pumped you up.
He did, and he pronounced it correctly.
Castagnolia?
Yeah, well, because it's really easy to do a hamstring trying to say.
Is it?
I mean, well, my Comanche Indian roots, it's difficult to say Castagnolia. So, He got it right, Big TB.
Yeah,
no. And you know what? You want a little know something a little behind the scenes of that. Mm. So Simon goes up there and he gets his on the. Are you just turning that off, Dinny? Are you?
No.
Why does the light keep going off? I feel like when I'm about to say something that's not footy related, you're pressing buttons.
Because I'm flicking between you and the big footy page with all our questions right on it.
So Terry Bailey,
TB,
during the staying race there,
yep,
devoured a big thing of Thai. And then proceeded to sort of pass wind and burp for the remainder of the show. And then he may have tried to sort of do a bit of wheeling and dealing with the dish lickers.
Right.
It was quite extraordinary.
Right.
So anyway, Simon said he couldn't believe how quickly this Thai meal, it went. So the staying race went for about 2:20,
yeah,
and Terry's Thai meal went in about 2:14. He beat the he beat the track record.
He didn't do a Michael Poy, did he?
Oh, geez, I felt for the kid there. That was absolutely horrendous. He got suspended for 2 months. But
so people who don't know what Michael Poy did, races at Kyneton, it was a 2800, I think, at Kyneton, yes, on Monday, and yep, poor Michael thought he was only in the 1200-meter race.
Well, it was a late pickup ride,
yeah,
for him.
He miscounted.
And they start the 2800 at Kyneton from the 1200-meter start.
Yep.
And he obviously hadn't read the rule book.
Yep.
Or the race book, or any book, yeah, I'm tipping. And he got round there and thought it was, and he won the first lap easily, and yeah, then got the shock of his life when the field joined him again. And the horse beat one home.
You know, he beat three home, I think.
Well, one got pulled out, I think. But yeah. And then I thought he had the audacity to whip it again the second time. just thought you'd put the whip away. That was the epitome of flogging a dead horse, that was.
Now, it was for the Archards he was riding, and our Reese Archard, who was a panty footballer of note.
Can swear for Australia,
yeah,
in his post-race.
I think he won a McGarry medal, Reese Archard, in the Sandville.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he might have, or went close to.
His father's at Darryl?
Darryl, yeah.
So Reece is good on that. He really can deliver a spray post-race.
Well, so Reece said that they would go easy, but he said, Mum's the one that does the books. He might want to avoid my mum.
They may have had a little nibble at it. I think they might have liked to have a little bit of a,
well,
you know.
It was paying 13s.
Well, I reckon they've had a Helen Hunt.
Yeah. Magic Johnson, hi there. Thanks for the podcast. I've really been enjoying it this year. Oh, thank you, Magic. Do you think the reduced list sizes...
I reckon that's his name.
I wouldn't have thought. They were implemented in 2021. Could potentially...
Is there any relation to Harold?
I don't know. Have a negative effect on the Cats this year. If the AFL do look to reduce list sizes further in the future with a potential team number 19th team, is there a need to be greater means to recruit top-ups throughout the year? Well, what will happen... I suspect. So the list at the moment, the Cats are carrying 41 plus 4 rookies, so 45 or thereabouts, I think it is, 44, 45. Look, the Cats have just hit a rough patch with injuries and unavailability, so that's going to happen. What will happen, I suspect, the list, I think the list will settle somewhere in the high 30s, but you will run a sup list of about 15 blokes that you will be able to call on if you bear. But you know, it's very rare that you find yourself, even I would be surprised at anybody with 38, if you had a 38 player list, wouldn't be able to field 23. 15 injuries would be a real surprise. So
you would have thought.
Yep. Yes, Geelong did only have 3 AFL listed players playing in the VFL on the weekend. Blitz, De Koning and Neil are the only players that could potentially ruck in the AFL or VFL at the moment, and it is far from either of their preferred positions. Additionally, Blitz and SDK are the only key defenders we have available. Please reference our earlier discussion, Magic. Although the Cats are, Chris Scott is adamant that Mark Blitzar's best position is in the ruck.
Yeah, and it's taken me a long time, Kingy, but after seeing him on the weekend, the only thing about that is I'll say that's fine when you're winning the game as comprehensively as Geelong are.
Yep.
But if you've got a key forward that is going bananas at one end and winning the game for them, then his best place isn't in the ruck.
Yep. If the list was as long as it was prior to 2021, it is my likely opinion that this wouldn't be the case. We'd have at least one extra ruck or key position available. Oh, potentially. It's hypothetical. They're not too much smaller than prior to. Look, just the position the Cats are in at the moment, so that's the way it is. Benny, we're off to Etihad, Marvel.
Marvel.
So this is only the second time we've been to Marvel since early 2020.
Are we going to be in the oxygen area?
Yeah, I believe so.
Are we going to be seated at the right hand of the Father?
We're actually going to be higher.
And Joe Cocker.
We're going to be higher than we've ever been before when it comes to...
Yeah, I know. We're actually going to be in charge of the roof sort of opening and closing, I would have thought. And there's going to be oxygen masks dropped.
Yes.
If any wind gets passed in that box...
Don't you dare. Because there's no open windows.
No.
Don't.
That could be an absolute disaster.
Don't you
like
dare.
The day that I bloody accidentally filled the Escort up with diesel. She died.
Oh, Benny. Benny, we're on at 3:15 on Saturday, the special time of...
What?
3:15 Saturday afternoon.
That is a real special time.
Yep. So,
okay. I'm going to have to might host the first bit.
You might. Yeah, that's.
I'd listen in because anything could happen.
That's a disaster. Bye, Benny.
Rightio. Bye-bye.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official whack and noisen dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.